Blog Talk Radio.
Good Monday, everybody. This is 80. Good evening, everybody. This is 89.1 KENZ FM live in Fargo, North Dakota, and you have just broken into Attitude Era Live once again Monday night, and we are all having a good time. With me always is Granny. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm sitting here watching my Kansas City Chiefs game, trying to recover from my trip from over the weekend. I got back this afternoon from picking up my mom for about a week, so it's been a very long day.
All right.
But so far my Chiefs are winning, so I'm happy. So far we're winning, so.
All right, and how's your mom doing?
She's okay. I mean, you know, she wanted to come down and spend about a week with my son. So David and I went up, I guess it was Saturday morning we left and went and picked her up and got back this afternoon. So.
All right. And we do have a big show, like always. We never fail to disappoint here. Tonight we have three great guests with us. Our first guest off when they call in will be Scott Putski. Of course, his father was the great Ivan Polish powerhouse Putski, and we're going to be talking to him, a second-generation wrestler, a WWE legendary wrestler. We're going to have CRD. And we're also going to have the Iceman with us. So it's going to be a big show. I don't know if Big Swing will call in and brag about his Cowboys beating my team, the Vikings, last night. We were in the cities. We just got back from our honeymoon. We were down there for that. I wish that it was a little happier ending. But, I'm sure that, Big Swing, I'm sure that he'll chime in or he'll play some kind of ridiculous liner or something at some point when we're on the air, but we'll see. And
you did one hell of a job, and the only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys?
Yeah!
Well, apparently Big Swing is listening because he, you know, he likes to play that, Granny, you know what I mean?
Oh, yes, I know.
And, you
know, I
know
that only too well.
Now, let me ask you this. There's another recording that he likes to play when he's listening, and that's about the Raiders thing. Do you know when Kansas City plays the Raiders?
In a couple weeks.
In a couple weeks.
Two or three weeks.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. What you got to do, though, is I know that the Cowboys and the Chiefs play also, so I will actually be
the
pulling
Chiefs
for the Chiefs,
the Cowboys
obviously.
The 21st of November, I believe.
The 21st of November. So if we look at the calendar, that's obviously not the Thanksgiving game, but the
No. Let's see. They play the Raiders. Okay. They play the Packers November 7th. They play the Raiders November 14th, and they play the Cowboys November 21st. Then they play
the
Broncos
December
5th.
Then
they play the Raiders again on the 12th. Well, they also have a bye week after the Cowboys because they don't play the Broncos until December 5th. So they got a bye week on the 28th. They play the Broncos again December 5th. The Raiders December 12th, the Chargers December 16th, the Steelers December 26th, the Bengals January 2nd, and the Broncos again on the 9th of January.
All right. And once again, this is 89.1 Ken's FM. We're going to take a quick little timeout, and we'll be back in 60 seconds. And as always, if you like what we're doing here on 89.1 Ken's FM in Fargo, North Dakota on Monday nights, go ahead. Show Ken's FM 89.1 some love. Do the $10 a month. It goes a long way to help pay the bills to keep the station on, and that's what we're trying to do. And we also got an added bonus for you. If you go to Ken's 89.1 FM page on Facebook and like that, you like Off the Ropes. You go to our Off the Ropes page on Facebook, you like that. And also, if you like the if you do a little donation to Ken's FM, we'll get you automatically qualified to win some autographs from a past guest, a current guest, or a future guest. And so hopefully we can get that set up for you. And we'll be going to our guest here soon. As a matter of fact, I think he might be on. We'll see here. All right. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, stepping out of the green room and walking down the aisle, we have a WWE legend with us tonight, ladies and gentlemen. As you know, the Attitude Era Live does not fail when it comes to bringing great guests, and he is a legend, and he is the son of a legend, and he is the greatest wrestler that the WWE ever put on television. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Scott Putski.
What's up, Scotty? What's happening, brother?
How are you?
Doing well, doing well.
All right. It's good to have you on the show here with us, Scott, and we appreciate you taking time out of your schedule. We have about 35 minutes here with you, if you can stand us that long. What we'll do here is we'll have you give a little background about yourself. Most of us know it already, but for those that don't, we'll have you give a little background about yourself. I'll ask a few questions. We'll have Granny ask a few, then we'll come back to me, and I'll ask you the tougher questions. How's that sound?
Sure.
All right. So if you want to give us a little background about yourself, then we'll have fun with the interview here.
What do you want to know? Son of Ivan Putski. Dude, I grew up in the business. I was watching wrestling when wrestling was real, back with Superstar Billy Graham, Jimmy Snuka, Bruno Sammartino, Chief J. Strongbow, Wahoo McDaniel for the people in Texas, Jose Lothario, Tully Blanchard, Joe Blanchard. You just name it. I've seen him. Andre the Giant. I mean, met him, seen him, you know, grew up with him. Really, as a kid, you know, I just kind of thought that's what everybody's dad did, were wrestlers, I guess, until I got in school and, you know, you kind of have to explain yourself or, you know, walk the walk and walk down the aisles in school and, you know, show how tough you are. I mean, that was kind of something that we had to do as children back then, that these kids nowadays have no damn clue what it's like. Just, you know, after I went to TC, I went, played high school football, was recruited by a lot of colleges, ended up going to TCU, play football, college football. Drafted by Houston Oilers, played there a year, tore my Achilles heel, kind of goofed around for a while, then, of course, got into wrestling, started wrestling with Global Wrestling and Sportatorium, you know, doing the indie scene, wrestled all over. Did some stuff up in the New York area with Mario Savoldi, the Savoldis, and, you know, went to Japan, Mexico, then, you know, on to WWF and then to WCW.
Now, you know, you were talking about Andre the Giant. Did you ever get hoisted up and put on Andre the Giant's shoulders?
Oh, yeah.
And we just got done with Halloween, of course, which was yesterday. Happy Halloween, everybody, from 89.1 Ken's FM. Now, I'm just kind of curious. Being the son of a legend, did you ever go out trick-or-treating with your dad? Of course, you went as Ivan Putski, and you must have went as what, Hulk Hogan or Macho Man or Bruno Sammartino?
No, man. Back then I didn't. Everybody was just a person to me, just like, you know, normal people, how their dad works. I mean, whether they were, you know, attorneys, doctors, you know, worked at the 7-Eleven, worked as a janitor, whatever. The people they hung around with, that was just who, you know, that's what I thought the world was all about. You know, that's, I thought everybody, you know, did that. I didn't know it was anything special. Really wasn't really special to me. You know, I really didn't have that much of a relationship with my father because he was never home. And the only time we really got to, you know, and people think, wow, that must have been cool to hang out with, you know, Andre the Giant and, you know, Wahoo McDaniel and Jose Lothario and Bruno Sammartino, all these famous, you know, superstar Billy Graham. But those were only small moments of my life. You know, I mean, the majority of my life was spent, you know, wanting my dad to be home. He was on the road, you know, probably 300 days a year, 290, you know, minimum back then. And, my relationship with my father growing up was over the phone lines, really. I mean, you know, we had our time when we got there, but, you know, 99% of the time he was never around.
And, you know, which is kind of sad because, we all love, most of us, love the relationship with our father, but I guess I never realized that. But like, even in the summertime, did you get to go on the road with your dad at all, when you're out of school?
We did, but you know, back then it wasn't like it was now where, you know, they drove everywhere and it was just, you know, as kids, you don't want to be stuck in a car and you don't want to, you know, my mom didn't want us to live that life. She tried to, you know, for us to grow up in as normal of a life as we could. So, you know, and there's a lot of guys, you know, I'm not going to name names, you know, second generation wrestlers my age that did that, you know, and they were pretty messed up, man. And it's not a life that my mom didn't want us to live that life. I mean, my mom never wanted us to, you know, have to live that. She wanted that home base where we grew up normal, which, you know, and, you know, going to school, you know, you had the Polish Power, Putski Power, Polish Power T-shirts and stuff, you know, he would give out and people would, you know, ask for, and autographs and stuff like that. And, you know, you'd be at a restaurant and people would walk up and it was just normal. We just, you know, we went out, we expected it, you know, he did it and then it was over with. And, you know, we ate our meals and went our way. But that was the big thing with me was when I had a son, that's why I just walked away from the business. My son was about 2 years old when I walked away. I wasn't going to be that man. I was not going to be my dad. I promised myself as a child, you know, we all grew up wanting to emulate our father. Again, if our father's a doctor, lawyer, a sanitation truck driver, whatever he is, we all idolize our dads. I mean, that's just common as children. And, you know, I idolized my dad, and I thought that, you know, by doing what he wanted, by playing football and succeeding in football and then, you know, wrestling and, you know, doing this and doing that, that I would, you know, gain, you know, I really gained his love. And it's not that way, man. It's, you know, the real world is not that way.
Now, with that being said, we have one question in the chat room here, and then we're going to talk about your career. We do love you talking about your childhood, which is kind of cool, and it's actually kind of sad. I guess I never figured that, but I guess it makes sense. But one other question that we have from our chat room here is, did you ever bring your dad to show and tell?
Yeah, actually I did. I think I did. You know, when we first moved to Austin, Texas, I was born in San Marcos. And when we moved to Austin, you know, my dad got real big. I think it was like the third grade. He came to, it was a parents, whatever, you know, bring your dad to work day. And he happened to be home that day. And he came, and that's kind of when everything, you know, all the kids kind of realized who he was. And, you know, it became kind of mayhem.
Scott Putsey is our guest here on Ken's FM 89.1. We got about 29 minutes here with the man here. Now, actually born in 1966. Correct me if I'm wrong on that.
No, you're correct.
And that would make you about 25, because you're a great guy.
Exactly.
One thing I remember when you first came on the scene, you know, you. If I'm not mistaken, they did say that you hailed from Poland, correct?
Uh-huh. Well, Dad was actually from Poland. He was born in Krakow, Poland. Actually, it's a small village called Skubadyny. Go ahead.
Now, have you ever been to Poland with your dad?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been to Poland. I've been all through Europe. Actually, I've been all over the world. I mean, there's not continent that I or country that I hadn't been in, but and I've traveled through Europe and Poland, you know, visiting relatives. I still have relatives there as we speak.
And you know, you started out in the GWF, which was Global Wrestling Federation, and
mm-hmm.
then you went on to the WWF, which we'll talk about, and then you returned mm-hmm. to the WWE, and then you went to World Championship Wrestling. And then, unfortunately for us, you retired. And then, I can understand that, spending time with your son and everything, and you wanted to be that dad that you didn't have. But has your son expressed any interest in wanting to be a wrestler, or do you kind of want to steer him away from that?
No, my son, he was really good, a really good football player, and you know, could have been. He could have done whatever he want. He's in college now, but he just got bored with it. He's a musician. He plays the drums. He's been playing the drums since he was like 6 years old. He's a freak. I mean, you know, Vinnie Paul from Pantera used to show him stuff, and he's an old school rocker. He's got an old soul, man. He loves old 80s, 90s rock, man. And he's put together a band, and they're coming out. The name of their band is Hell's Half Acre. It's named after the Hell's Half Acre here in Fort Worth, Texas, where he's, you know, grown up.
And, you know, a little interesting side note is, you know, being Polish that you are, my wife is actually Polish. For those that know that my wife's maiden name is Janiszewski, and it's actually still her married name. And, you know, so I'm getting involved in the Polish heritage, really. And, you know, I thought that that would be kind of cool, you know, being being with Bernadette. She's she's my rock. She's the the love of my life. And, you know, your name is actually 3 inches shorter than hers, but it's really cool. We have Scott Putsky as our guest here on 89.1 KENZ FM. We got about 25 minutes. What I'm going to do here real quick, Scott, is I'm going to introduce you to my co-host. It's Granny Hulkster, and she's got a few questions for you. Go ahead, Granny. What do you got for our guest? We have Scott Putsky. Go ahead.
Well, welcome to our show tonight. We're glad to have you on with us.
Thank you, ma'am.
So what was one of your most challenging matches you had in your career, and who was it against?
I would probably say there's a guy, he used to tag with Stone Cold Steve Austin before Steve got real famous. His name's Rod Price. We used to work a lot when I first started, and he's pretty much like me, stiff. He's a crowbar. We had some good matches, man. We were pretty, you know, strong style, and we both tatered each other a whole lot. So I enjoyed working with him because, you know, he didn't whine and cry about getting stiff. You get a lot of these guys that cry, you know, if you touch them, they don't even want to be touched, and it's just, it's not the way wrestling. You know, when I grew up, the wrestling was a lot stiffer. I mean, you know, you talk to the old guys, it was 100 times stiffer than it was, you know, when I was walking out the door, and a million times more than it is now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I've been a huge wrestling fan for, I don't know how many years. I mean, I'm 59 years old, and I've had the gimmick name of Granny Hulkster.
So you were a fan back when wrestling was real, right?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And I got a story to share about that, because I've had my gimmick name of Granny Hulkster, which I got from a former coworker because I love wrestling. And I've probably had this gimmick name for probably close to 20 years. And, you know, my husband and I had the opportunity to get to meet Ron Simmons and Tony Atlas. About almost 2 years ago at an autograph signing, and Ron Simmons says, he says, Granny, he says, you're that true fan that we so loved back in the day that we don't see anymore.
Yep.
It's
true.
I don't like the bad guys. I can holler some pretty good smack at the bad guys when I have to. They get in my face, and they tell me to sit down and shut up before I break a hip, or don't I have a curfew at the nursing home? And I just get right back in their face, and I tell them what for. I say, if you think you're man enough, big boy, I said, why don't you get out of that ring and come down here to my face and tell me to sit down and shut up? You can't do it. And I have a lot of fun doing that.
That's good. That's what it's all about, man, when you go to a wrestling match. That's what it should be about. The interaction with the fans. And if whoever's in the ring is causing you to get riled up, then they're doing their job. If they're causing you to hate them and boo them, then
they're doing their job. That's right. So
kind of like my relationship with Kevin Owens. I don't like that guy. I'll never like that guy. But we have Scott Putsky as our guest here, and he is the living legend from the WWE and WCW. I'm going to ask you a few more questions, but we do have a mystery call in, and he's got a few questions for you. Go ahead, caller. What do you got?
You did one hell of a job, and the only thing else I got to say is, how about them cowboys?
So, Icon, I'll get to you in a minute. Obviously, I am just checking in, seeing how everything's going. I haven't been on the show in a couple of weeks because my life has been an absolute train wreck. But you guys have been...
And I control the mute button, too.
Yeah, you guys have been holding the fort down for me, which I appreciate. Show is as good as it's ever been. I got a chance to listen a little bit to the end. I finally got the office free, so a lot of the questions that I would have had have already sort of been answered. But the one that I ask a lot of our guests now, and I don't know if this has been asked already, so correct me if it has, but do you feel I've been going back and watching a lot of the Monday Night Wars again, and growing up, I was a WCW kid because obviously everyone knows the story. My aunt knows Hulk Hogan personally, yada, yada, yada. You know, I always grew up watching that. Do you feel like the way wrestling is going now, that AEW will ever be able to recreate what they had in the late 90s with the WCW and WWF? Or do you really feel like all of it is just a lost cause at this point? It's all more entertainment than it is actually wrestling.
Hey, I mean, the sad thing is AEW doesn't have Ted Turner's money.
They have Khan's money, though. That's not Ted Turner, though.
That money back then, boy, he was giving. You know, and the thing with Turner, and back in the day, his whole thing was he didn't care to make money. He just wanted to put Vince McMahon out of business. That was his whole premise. He didn't care if he made a penny. He just wanted to put – he didn't like Vince McMahon, and he wanted to put him out. And the problem there was they put people in charge that didn't have a clue of what to do. When they put Bischoff and those guys in, the funny thing is they thought they were going to, you know, put Vince out of business. And all they did was take Vince's old stars, rehash, you know, stuff. Of course, the NWO, but they overdid that. They blasted. It was a cool gimmick, you know, but it was overdone.
Well, doesn't it
and
feel
then when,
like that's
you know,
kind of what AEW is doing now? It kind of feels like every WWF name we've seen in the past, WWE name we've seen in the past 10 years is going to AEW now. So it kind of feels like they're starting to maybe recreate that a little bit, and it started with Chris Jericho.
See, and what happened there was, and they should look back, and Chris Jericho should understand, or, you know, these guys should understand. In that war, Vince sat back for about 6 months to a year and let all these old stars, because he knew exactly what they were going to do. WCW wasn't going to build stars. They were going to take stars from all over and just rehash the old shit. And Vince was building new stars. People are putting new people, you know, stars out there, building people. So after a year, WCW still had the old stuff, and Vince had these new young and up-and-coming stars, and that's who people wanted to see. You know, he just kind of sat back and for a year just built. He said, okay, I'm going to build, you know, Hunter. I mean, they were in the thing, Sean, you know, they just really put these guys out there. And WCW took the old stars and just, you know, put them up front, knew they weren't going to put any younger talent over, knew they weren't going to, you know, build any younger talent. And then, you know, just like there was a click in WWF, there was a click in WCW with, you know, with Hogan, Nash. And
the whole show.
Right.
Yeah.
And the thing I tell this to everybody, the NWO, the whole NWO rode off of Scott Hall's coattails. That guy was the mouth of the NWO. Take Scott Hall out of the NWO sucks.
While we're on this topic, this is kind of something I wasn't planning on, but as you were mentioning that, I got to think to myself, because when I was a little kid, I had an NWO shirt and stuff, because like I said, I grew up a WCW kid. All my friends had DX and Austin 316 and Undertaker shirts and things. In their heyday, now, we're only taking a couple of years here, because I know NWO went way too long. Everybody knows that. But in its prime, you take the origination in 96 to they started to go dull in about 98, or you take DX, who started in 97, went dull in about 99. In their heydays, what do you think was the better stable? Was it NWO or was it DX? It was more revolutionary for the wrestling business and the viewership and marketing.
NWO, when it was just Hall and Nash. Hogan jumped on, it died. Then they started just bringing anybody on. You know, when it was just those two, if those two would have just stayed on their own.
The outsiders. Stayed at the outsiders, yep.
Right. But the thing is it didn't matter. I mean, and you know, it was okay. I mean, it was fair, but you take Scott Hall out of that equation. Every single mannerism, every single saying Scott Hall invented, and then Hogan would steal, and then Scott Hall would, you know, invent something else and go with it, and then Hogan would steal it. And it's just like the little walk, how he put his little hands down, do the little airplane. Scotty started doing that first, and Hogan took it. He did something else. You know, he'd say something,
oh, wow.
And Hogan, you know, think about it, remember?
Or the whole too sweet thing. The too sweet thing was them first.
Yeah, exactly.
All that. Yeah.
All that.
Yeah.
You know? But you take Scott Hall out of that equation. That guy, and I tell people, Scott Hall was the best wrestler and the best interview that you could have. He's better than The Rock. He's better than, I mean, it all. He was his wrestling by far, but his interviews.
Oh.
And his mic.
And, you know, it just kind of sucks that he had all the personal demons that he had, because it could have been so much more. Yeah.
You know, and the thing is Scotty was a good dude to everybody. He was a good dude.
He was. And I've seen a lot of stories
about
him. But I do gotta jump off real quick, Icon, because I am doing Monday Night Football on the side. I just wanted to pop in and say hi and ask a quick question. I'm going to try to call back in as well for the next guest. And I do want to break your balls a little bit about a backup quarterback beating your Vikings, so I will call back later on.
Well, you got to be careful about the language, man.
I said a backup quarterback beating your Vikings. That's what I said.
Well, whatever. Okay. All right. Sounds good. We'll catch up to you afterwards. Okay?
Can I do this?
Bye, Big Swing.
Okay. That was Big Swing. He's been absent, and I'm actually glad that he has been absent. But anyway, we have Scott Putzke as our guest here. We got about 14 minutes here. Real quick, we're going to take a quick little time out here, then we'll be back in about 60 seconds.
So what else y'all want to do on this? They can't hear me again.
Oh, we can hear you right now. I think they took a quick break.
Oh, okay.
And, yes, we are back here on 89.1 KENS FM, Fargo, North Dakota. Here we have Scott Putzke is our guest here. We got about 12 minutes left here with Scott. So, now, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about, you know, when you you started in the WWE and went to WCW. Now, is there a difference in the backstage atmosphere compared to one or the other?
Well, between WWF and WCW?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you know, back it, WCW was more, I mean, for me it wasn't, because I knew everybody. So it was Vince's was more intense. I mean, Vince's was more of a work atmosphere. And WCW was more laid back, was not, you know, as intense. I mean, when you go to the WWF, it's like, you know, he's all business. And you're at TV, that shit's all business, pardon my language. But it's you know, you walk in the door, it's business. It's business starts. You know, WCW was just kind of Harry Carey on the fly. It's like, you know, I tell people, Vince, whenever you work for the WWF, they used to give us an envelope, a big envelope with all of our schedule, all of our plane tickets for the month, and, you know, you go out and that was your schedule. WCW, they would send your ticket. Of course, we were only working, you know, Mondays and Thursdays, and they would send your ticket, you know, via mail, you know, FedEx or whatever, you know, overnight. And sometimes you wouldn't get, for Monday, I wouldn't get a ticket until Saturday. So, you know, it got to the point where I was just tired, and, you know, I said, okay, if I don't get my ticket by Friday, I'm not going to Monday. So, you know, Monday, where you're on the show, which you're on most of the shows. So Sunday, Saturday, I'd get a ticket, and I was just like, man, I ain't going. So, you know, Monday about 3, Terry Taylor's calling going, hey, Scotty, where you at? And I was like, man, I didn't get a ticket. I don't know I'm on the show. And he's like, oh, dang it, you know, darn it, whatever. But so then, you know, go for a while, another time, you know, you don't do it. And in the meantime, you take that ticket and you go to Delta, and we, you know, we had our Delta credit card, and they, you know, they wouldn't give you the money, but they put the money from the ticket on that so you could fly, you know, so you could bring your family or do whatever, even go on vacation. So it got to the point where I was just, you know, a lot of times I just wasn't showing up. I was so just tired of the bull. So one time Bischoff calls and he's like, dude, where are you at? And I'm like, man, I didn't get a ticket. And he's like, oh, okay. He goes, well, go to the airport. We're putting you on an e-ticket. And I was like, all right. And so it was about 2 o'clock in the morning. I get to the airport, and this is back when you could just walk on planes. I get to the ticket. I'm going to Dallas. I'm going to Syracuse, New York. So I fly to Syracuse, New York, get a car, drive to the arena, get to the arena. Show's fixing to start. Look on the, you know, the list. My name's not up there. I'm like, hey, man, am I on the show? They're like, no, we don't need you tonight. I was like, all right, thanks. Jump back in my car, drive to the airport, fly back home. I'm, you know, catch a ride at home. It's no big deal. So, you know, back then it was good.
Well, you know, that doesn't sound like, you know, that doesn't sound like they were taking care of their talent really well.
No.
That kind of stuff would never happen under Vince, would it?
No. You knew day to day where you were at. I mean, and that was the good thing with Vince. You know, is it was a business. That was a flat. I mean, because look at the storyline for WC. They may, you know, have a story written out, and it, you know, it changes from Monday to Thursday. There was no, you know, other than NWO, really, and a couple other stories. Everybody else was just kind of a side piece. You know, just to. You know, you had the guy, the Mexico guys, and they were thrown in there, and then they, you know, you have your lucha matches and, you know, stuff like that. So just kind of a hodgepodge of stuff. Then you had the NWO, you know, that was kind of running everything.
We're here on 89.1 KZ FM. We got Scott Putzke is our guest here. We got we got about 9 minutes left here with the man. We have a little assignment for everybody. If you go to our Off the Rose page, you like that, you go to 89.1 KENZ FM, you like that page. And if you throw a donation to KENZ FM here, $10 a month, we'll also get you qualified for our drawing in December to win some autographs from a future guest, a past guest, or a current guest. And, Scott, I'll understand if you would turn me down on this, but would you be willing to donate a few autographs for our giveaway show?
Sure.
Awesome. I'll send you the address where to send that to. Whatever you can do for us, we sure would appreciate it.
Yeah, I'll shoot them down. Definitely.
All right. So now, when you first started training to get in the business, did you have that head of steam? You're like, I'm gonna bust down the door of this company, and I'm gonna shoot all the way to the top. Or did you know that there was a pecking order that you had to kind of work your way up?
No, you know, you go in and my dad had a lot of heat with a lot of the WWF office. So, you know, I went in not knowing, and yeah, he had a whole lot of heat with a lot of people. So I would have probably been better off, I mean, you know, with my look and my athleticism and stuff, of not being, you know, second generation, well, his son, because that kind of pulled me down line. He had a lot of heat with a lot of people, especially in Vince's office. You know, he was over good when Vince Sr. was there, but he was in that Bruno Sammartino, you know, that group that Vince, you know, Benny Jr. didn't really care for. And we all know how Vince holds grudges.
Right, exactly. You know, one thing about the WWE, I mean, you know, you never say never. I mean, and the best example of that is when I thought when they, you know, when they brought the Ultimate Warrior back. Now, he was, in the 80s, of course, your father and Hulk Hogan were my heroes. And then, of course, in the 90s, it was the Ultimate Warrior. And then the late 90s, it was Stone Cold Steve Austin. Would you say... and I'll understand if you don't want to answer this question, but what is a major difference between Vince McMahon and Eric Bischoff?
Well, I mean, you said I can't cuss on this, right?
Right. Yeah. You got. We got to keep.
Yeah. It's PG. Vince McMahon would be a genius, and Ed Bischoff would be a turd. I mean, that's about as nice as I can say. You know, and I'm not a big fan of Vince. Big fan of Bischoff, but truth be told, I mean, they're not even the same league, man. It's Bischoff is you know, burnt toast, and Vince is filet mignon. It's not, you can't even compare the two, man. It's not even close.
You know, and I don't know if you knew this or not, but you know, both Bischoff and Tony Schiavone, JR, Arn Anderson, and Brother Love, Bruce Pritchard, that, you know, they all have their own podcast. And I don't know if you knew this or not, but there was a couple times when they talked about shows that you were on, you know, Conrad Thompson would always ask, you know, about this guy and this guy. You know, you've been mentioned on Pritchard's show many times. Were you aware of that?
No, I've known, and I knew, you know, Bruce growing up. You know, he's from Houston, and I'm from,
right,
you know, Austin, Fort Worth. Yeah. Now, what did he say about me?
Well, you know, Conrad Thompson asked, well, what do you think happened? Why do you think that, you know, he didn't go farther? And he said just exactly what you said. There was a lot of heat there. You know, and it's sad that, you know, the heat that your dad had kind of was put on you, which is not fair at all, you know?
Right. Man, but see, when I knew that, and that's kind of why I left, and it was just like, you know, after that, the pay-per-view where I tore my quad with Brian Christopher, you know, I called, and I'd always talk to Bruce, and that's kind of my go-to event for Bruce Christopher. I had a good relationship with Bruce. I respect Bruce. You know, Bruce is a genius. I think Bruce is a genius. But, you know, I just didn't think I was going to get anything there. Well, I was, you know, when I was with WWF, I was probably about 240, 245. And they were trying to throw me in the light heavyweight. I was like, what? And, you know, here's no offense against Sean, but Sean was about a buck 85. So you had your, you know, if I had won the light heavyweight title, you're looking at a world champion that's 185 pounds, and then you're looking at your light heavyweight that's 240. I mean, does that make sense?
No, it doesn't.
It was
not
just
at
like,
all.
And I didn't, you know, and people were like, dude, are they trying to, like, piss off your dad and say you're small? Or it made no sense. You know,
right.
And so, you know, after that deal, I would call, and, you know, I was wanting to get back to work after I had healed, and they were just like, well, we don't have nothing to you. I was like, I mean, is there any, you know, we had this angle going, we need to keep this angle going, is there any way? And they were like, nah, we're just going to put it on the shelf for a while. And, of course, in the meantime, I was real good friends with DDP, and so DD's, you know, man, oh, brother, all the guys are coming to WCW. I can get you big bucks and just come down here, jump ship, and blah, blah, blah. You know, my son was fixing to be born, so I was just like, man, you know, went to Bruce and said, man, if y'all aren't going to use me, can I get out of my contract? And he's like, no, I don't think Vince. And, you know, then they end up calling me back, go, yeah, we'll let you out of your contract. And so then I went and signed with WCW, and for probably 2 months, I just, you know, they would fly me in just to hang around because they just wanted to get used to the locker room, which was cool at first. And I'm thinking, well, wow, man, they're going to really do something here. And, you know, of course, nothing materialized there with anybody young, really. It was, you know, that whole, I think initially they had the idea of doing something and building stars, but then that whole NWO Goldberg thing just, you know, took over their whole mindset, and it went nowhere other than the Kiss character that ended up doing nothing.
Right. Scott Putzke's our guest here. We got about 60 seconds here left with Scott. You know, I'll tell you what, Scott, I do want to appreciate you being on the show tonight, and I know we've been trying to get you on a couple times, and we finally got it working, and I'm glad that you were able to join us tonight. We would like to have you on again because our chat room is just buzzing right now about this segment. So if we would be willing to indulge us again, we'd love to have you back
sure.
on.
Sure, brother. Awesome. Just let me know.
All right.
Thanks,
you're the
Scott.
Man, and we do appreciate you taking time out of your schedule, and you're awesome, man. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, man. Hey, just let everybody know, just, you know, hey, let's all be happy and get along, man. This world's a messed up place right now, and I just want everybody just to, you know, we all need to get along and praise the good Lord, because stuff's not good now in this world, but, you know, it's just around the corner. We can all make a change, but we have to do it, you know, together. We can't do it as cliques or groups. We have to do this as a whole society together.
Awesome.
That's right.
Great words from a great man. Thank you, Scotty.
God bless, man. Love you guys. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Scott.
All right. All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Scott Putzke was our guest here. We'll be back with our next guest in about 60 seconds.
I'm here. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we're taking a quick break.
Gotcha.
All right, we are on 89.1 Ken's FM. It's Monday night, and ladies and gentlemen, stepping out of the green room and walking down the aisle, he is our next combatant of the night. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you directly from Canada. He is a Canadian Red Devil himself. He is CRD.
What's up, guys? I'm the Canadian Red Devil, formerly from Medicine Hat, Alberta, Canada, now residing in Tulsa, Oklahoma for quite some time. You're listening to the Attitude Era Live on 89.1 Ken FM with your hosts, The Icon, and I hear Granny Hulkster is the big swing there. I believe you said he was not.
I don't think, well, he's not here right now, but.
Okay.
He'll be back.
But you're on with The Icon and Granny Hulkster and very special guest, Canadian Red Devil, the CRD, calling live from Tulsa, Oklahoma. What's up, guys? Thank you for having me.
All right. We have the Canadian Red Devils, our guest here. We got about 28 minutes here on 89.1 Ken's FM. Here's what we're going to do here real quick. If you want to give us a quick little background about yourself, I know you told us where you're from, but if you want to give us a quick little background about yourself, and then we're going to have some fun with the interview. Go ahead.
All right. I was born in Canada, but my parents are American citizens, so I'm an American citizen. I lived there as a child, but we moved around a little bit when I was younger. My parents were in the oil business, so we lived in Texas for a little while and eventually settled in Oklahoma because my parents didn't want to be moving around with me as I was growing up, so we settled in one place, and I've been in Tulsa, Oklahoma for the vast majority of my life. I've always been a wrestling fan, but it was more curiosity for me than anything else because my parents – I'd be watching it. I watched a little bit of Stampede, like way back in the day, and you know, when we went to Texas, it was a whole different ball game with the, like Von Erichs and what was airing there, stuff from Houston, and you know, of course, World Wrestling Federation and you know, NWA and becoming WCW. My parents would always. Why are you watching that? Why are you wasting your time with that? That's, you know, that's not real. That's, but I was so perplexed by that that it just grabbed me and I couldn't turn away. But like my, I guess my obsession or love for wrestling started more out of curiosity of if this isn't real, why is this guy bleeding everywhere? If this isn't real, like why are these guys fighting? And if you know, why are all these people in this audience watching this, you know, so that's kind of how I got into it. And I just, grew to love it. I went to my first, independent wrestling show when I was, 18 years old with, another wrestler named, Dutch Hagen. You know, and I was a teenager in the 90s. There was no, the internet wasn't really prevalent at the time. So he just kind of found out about it, and we went to go check it out. We were like, I don't remember exactly how he came across it, but it was in the back of a bowling alley, and we were like, there's pro wrestling going on in the back of this bowling alley in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And sure enough, we went to check it out. It was called Oklahoma Professional Wrestling, and we went to quite a few shows, but like I said, we were in high school at the time, so we had a lot going on with typical high school things, so we couldn't go all the time. But I found out they had a school, and it was just planted in my mind, like, hey, this is something I definitely have to do at some point. And wrestling school was pretty expensive back then, but, so I had to wait a little while till I graduated and did the college thing for a while, and got a job that I could afford wrestling school. And once I got to financially stable, I was able to join the wrestling school in 2001. So, and it's been a big part of my life ever since. So for 20 years, I've had the opportunity to do this and work indies and work all over, pretty much from here to Florida, and the furthest north I ever went is Nebraska. I've not got to wrestle in Canada yet, but maybe someday. But mostly just around here, and I don't know. It's been
Canadian
a blast.
The Canadian Red Devils are guest here.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, the Canadian Red Devils are guest here. We've got about 24 minutes. Now, one thing I do want to ask. Now, with your, you do wear a mask when you wrestle, obviously.
Yes, sir.
And it's actually a really cool look, and I'm actually jealous because you're probably a handsome guy under that mask. The only reason why I wear a mask is so they don't see what I look like. But now, with your wrestling style and the fact that you are a masked wrestler, are you more of a high flyer like a Rey Mysterio? Are you a technical wrestler like a Bret Hart? Or are you just that brawler like a Stone Cold Steve Austin?
I really don't do much high flying. I just feel clumsy trying to do anything like that. I was a big fan of like Bret Hart, Chris Benoit, so you know that they were very. I was heavily influenced by them. I do maybe a little bit of brawling type. I was kind of big into martial arts for a while. I did martial arts when I was younger as well, so. But as far as wrestling, it's just more. I always like to compare myself to Doink the Clown kind of style when people ask. So I hope that answers your question. But I'm influenced by maybe all of the above. But more, especially as I get older, it's more walk and talk entertainment style these days.
We have CRD as our guest here. We got about 22 minutes. We got about a couple more questions, and we got to pay some bills, and then we'll be back to continue. Now, being a mass wrestler, I mean, it's kind of a misnomer though that people automatically assume because you're wearing a mask that you're like a luchador and you're a high flyer. Do you get that
a
lot?
True.
Do people expect that?
All the time. Anytime I send out booking inquiries, I make sure to send plenty of videos, and people, maybe they don't watch them, but I still get a lot of inquiries for I'd like a high-flying type match, and I just have to tell them, I'm afraid that's not me. But I guess maybe it's assumed, but no, I do like the old school. Maybe if you're familiar with like the old way back in the territory days, the gimmick is just kind of a throwback to a lot of the territories had a Red Devil character, and it was usually just a secondary gimmick, a guy in a black mask, and they just called him the Red Devil. There was the Oregon Red Devil, I know for sure. I had the opportunity to work with when I was new and getting in, I had the opportunity to work with the evil foreigners, and they made me the Canadian guy, and because I could actually talk and the rest of the guys couldn't talk, so I would do the promos for the group, and they had me be the evil Canadian guy just because I had Canadian roots. It was a good gimmick to get started in Oklahoma, and it's continued to work for me for over the years. So I, you know, it works. I stick with it. And so here I am now, 20 years later.
CRD is our guest here. We got about 20 minutes left of the segment. I'm going to do a quick little pay a quick little bills. Hopefully this will work, and then we'll be back. Hold on, guys. 1 second.
All righty.
And we are back with CRD, and we have about 20 minutes. Now, when you wrestle, are you more of a baby face, a heel, an in-betweeny, or are you more of a crowd guy?
I'd definitely say more of a crowd guy, but typically I wind up working baby face in this day and age. It just the kids love the mask and the bright colors that I wear, and you know, just depending on where I go, sometimes they want me to be the heel and the bad guy. And, of course, when I started out, it was intended to be a heel gimmick, and I played it for quite a while, attempting to be a heel. But I just had, after a few months, I just had the fans behind me. They just enjoyed my work, even as a bad guy. I gave them somebody to laugh at and some comic relief, and they got to where they really appreciated that. As far as regular fans at our that came to our regular events around the state and around, I got to work in Arkansas quite a bit too, and it was always the same effect. I would start out as a bad guy anywhere I went, and people would just, for whatever reason, warm up to me. So,
well, you mentioned you mentioned wrestling in Arkansas, so this part of this next segment is going to be really interesting. We have CRD, we have 18 minutes. Granny, he's wrestled in your home country. He's wrestled in your home territory, and he's
my home country.
He's a good
guy.
What do you got, Granny?
Well, you know, CRD is a very good personal friend of Granny Holster's. I have known CRD for many years. I have seen many matches in wrestling and watching him wrestle in Arkansas and Oklahoma both. So, you know, gosh, CRD, how long have we known each other? Probably close to...
Over 10 years.
I've been in Arkansas since 1999. Well, I moved to Arkansas in 88. And I moved to Springdale in 1999, and I met you probably in the early 2000s. So, you know, we've known each other quite a long time, Icon.
Oh yeah, we go way back. And mentioned before, you know, Granny was probably the leader of the pack when it came to, you know, I'm supposed to be out there being a bad guy, but. People just warm up to the character and warm up to the, you know, the comedy act, the shtick, whatever you want to call it, and start cheering for me. And then next thing you know, I'm what's to be considered a baby face. And I want to say, I'm sure Granny Holster led the charge on much of that, at least
on
the event she was attending.
Hold on a second, guys. One week I'll get this figured out. But sorry about the interruption. We're on 89.1 Ken's FM. This is Ken's FM. We're on 89.1. We have CRD as our guest. Go ahead, Granny, with your question. And I mentioned it.
Well,
you may have made him some cookies or something.
Well, CRD and I, we go, as he said, we go way back. So, CRD, what, if you could have, like, any kind of dream match, what would you want it to be, and who would you want your opponent to be?
I would love to go back to 20 years ago, maybe with my athleticism or my 30-year-old body, but I would love to have worked with Ultimo Dragon. He was my favorite to watch in WCW. I would watch WCW.
Mm-hmm.
I'd record it just to watch and see what Ultimo Dragon was going to do. I liked now Icon mentioned like me being mistaken for a luchador, or you know, if people expected it of me, and that was a big influence to me, was watching WCW. That's what made me want to get into wrestling, and that's what made me think I had a opportunity at wrestling. But my dream match would have been simply with Ultimo Dragon, for sure.
That's awesome.
But I was a huge, I liked a lot of the WWF stuff, but I was a huge WCW fan back in the day. I always watched the Cruiserweights and the Luchadors, and you know, I always thought if I have an opportunity to do this, this is the way for me, because I was not a great big guy at the time. When I started wrestling, I was about 160, 165 pounds when I very first got into, or if you want to call it, broke into the business, was training, and I felt like that was the way. But unfortunately, WCW didn't last much beyond whenever I got started, but that was a big influence to me, and it still is. That's something I always like to go back and watch, is the old cruiserweight matches, even though I can't do a lot of that stuff. Just the way those guys worked, telling a story with their body while wearing a mask. You know, they don't have facial expression, so they have to do everything and communicate with the crowd just completely using their body. And so that's, like I said, that's a big influence to me, and that's something I've always strived for, is to be good like they were.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
But as far as dream match, definitely go back 20 years, match with Ultimo Dragon would have been dream match for me.
That would be awesome.
CRD is our guest here. We've got about 13 minutes here with the man here. Now, one thing that we won't spend too much time on it, because it's kind of depressing, but, you know, we had the whole COVID thing. Kind of tell us, how did it affect you? Did you have to blank out your calendar to a certain point? Do you got shows that will be rescheduled or just completely canceled? Kind of take us through how it affected you.
Well, I had my first child in 2017, and I had my second one in 2019. And I just, my wrestling had slowed down a lot already as it was. I'd really only been wrestling in my town, and then a little bit out of town, like maybe an hour or two away at most. So my schedule was already pretty slow as it was. In Oklahoma, we did have to shut down completely for, I want to say it was two months. It was from March to May. And then in May we were, and that was our athletic commission. We all have to be licensed here. And all the shows have to be sanctioned by the state. And the state completely shut down everything for the 2 months. And then it kind of started picking back up with being restricted restrictions on attendance, things like that, wearing masks. So I was only wrestling maybe once or twice a month as it was, and it went to zero a month. And then once we started rolling again, I got back up to once or twice a month. So it didn't necessarily hit me hard in the wrestling aspect of it, but it was a bummer for sure for our businesses.
We have the CRD as our guest here. We have 11 minutes here with CRD. Now, one question I'd like to ask all our independent wrestlers, because no one's ever answered the same way, so I'm going to put it to you as a two-part question. Let's say that, you know, now we got AEW and the WWE and, you know, Ring of Honor. Let's say that you're at a wrestling show and one of the they have like an official there and they come up to you after the show and say, you know, we're having a tryout in this area and we'd like you to come check out. Two-part question. One, is that something you'd want to do? And two, if you do get that big-time contract because we know that you got the drive to do it, would you not big-time us and still talk to us?
I love doing these interviews. This is one of my favorite things about our business. So absolutely, I'd love to still talk to you. I would still talk to Granny on Facebook periodically as well. No, I wouldn't big time anybody, but I would definitely check it out. I feel like I need to get in better shape. I'm 41 years old at this time. Definitely need to get in better shape, but to continue doing this, but it would definitely be worth checking out. I also want to say one of my buddies, Fuego del Sol, is making waves there in AEW, and everybody, he's, to my knowledge, he's from Texas. I've had the opportunity to work on a lot of cards with him. I've never had a match against him, but I've tagged with him at least once, and I've been in like a few battle royals with him, so we're all cheering him on from here, Oklahoma and Texas, and our whole regional crew here cheering him on in AEW. I've had a couple of opportunities with WWE. It's been, that was 2009, 2010, and just unfortunately at the time, I don't want to say I was ring ready. I was wrestling probably usually at least 1 to 3 times a week at the time. So my body was in good ring shape, but I just wasn't physically fit enough at that time to, I guess, be what they were looking for, unfortunately. But I did have a couple opportunities with them at those times. And, you know, if I could go back, I would have told myself, hey, diet a little better, you know, get a better tan, get a better look going for you. But, if the opportunity came along today, yeah, I would at least do what I could to whip myself in shape and, you know, try it for one more try, you know what I mean? So, yes, I would go for it, and yes, I would not big time you, and I'd still love to be on your show.
Awesome, and you know, the biggest test I ever got with that was we had our first interview, Kenzie Page, and I asked her the same thing, and she was 17 at the time. We were actually the first interview that she ever did with us, and. I got a call from Big Swing telling me to turn on my TV because she was on AEW. And after the show was over, I called her. She said, I only got a few minutes, Icon, but she kept her promise, and she did talk to me. So there you go. There's only one person, one guest that we've ever had that I never, ever want to talk to again. And we'll just say one half of Harlem Heat, and it's not Booker T, so you guys can pretty much figure out who that is. CRD's our guest.
Okay.
We got about 7 minutes left here with CRD. Tell us if you have any upcoming matches, where it is, when it is, and if you know who your opponent is, if you got one coming up.
I'll be in I have two this Saturday. I'll be wrestling at it's a ministry, it's a food ministry / wrestling promotion that raises money to have a food pantry, and it's called Wrestling Against Hunger, WAH. And I can't tell you what my match is because it's kind of a surprise, but I can tell you I will be there, and that one's at 3 p.m. in Turley, Oklahoma. If you're listening, you can simply look up on Facebook, Wrestling Against Hunger, and I'm sure you can find the event and the address. It's Wrestling Against Hunger in Turley, Oklahoma. And that's a small town just north of Tulsa. And then after that, I will be at Core Professional Wrestling, which is run by some of my proteges. And that one's in Sand Springs, Oklahoma, at, I believe, 6 p.m. And I'll be challenging the tag team titles at Core Professional Wrestling. And that's Core, like Apple Core, Professional Wrestling in Sand Springs, Oklahoma. If you want to get on Facebook or the Internet, look up Core Professional Wrestling, Sand Springs, Oklahoma, and it should pop right up. I'll be challenging the tag team titles with a newcomer, Leo Fox. So I'm looking forward to having him in my corner and challenging the tag team titles with him as my partner. I've seen a lot from him, but like I said, I haven't got to work with him yet because he is relatively new. But I'm looking forward to getting in there and guiding him to a tag team title win. And that is this Saturday night. Now, next Sunday, the 14th, I'll be back in Tulsa making my debut for a new promotion. Apologies.
Well, yeah, we want to make sure you get it right.
Yes, I definitely. Interdimensional Wrestling Warriors. That's IWW, Interdimensional Wrestling Warriors. Forgive me, I have a hard time keeping that on the tip of my tongue. But that one will be at, and this is a Make-A-Wish benefit, at 1109 East 6th Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So if you just get on Facebook or just the internet and look up Interdimensional Wrestling Warriors in Tulsa, Oklahoma, it should take you right to the event and all the information you'll need from that. But those are my next 2 weekends, and I'm finally getting back to it. I've only been have another gig on the weekends where I'm a wedding DJ, so I've been pretty busy with that this time of year. But now I'm getting back to wrestling more, so I'm pretty excited to get back in the ring. I haven't got to wrestle a whole lot in the last couple months, so looking forward to it.
And being a wrestler and hold on 1 second. Being a wrestler and a DJ.
Okay, that's fine.
Being a wrestler and a DJ, I bet if someone gets out of line, you can just send them to Suplex City right onto the turntable, I would guess.
Let me tell you, as somebody who's bought a lot of microphones, do not drop the mic. I don't care about, you know, the term mic drop. No, don't do that, or you will get dropped.
Right, yeah, now they call it a pipe bomb. Real quick, Granny, we have CRD as our guest here. Real quick here, so we have time to do it, if our fans want to check you out, you got a Facebook, an Instagram, a YouTube, a Twitter, a Twitch, a TikTok, what do you got?
I've got... My favorite's my Instagram, and it's as simple, the little @ real CRD. So you don't get a fake one. It's REALCRD on Instagram and Twitter, which I don't get on Twitter a whole lot. And then if you want to add me on Facebook, my name is simply C.R, the letter C, the letter R, and D, like D Snyder, D-E-E. So C-R-D-E-E. And that's the best ways to find me and reach out to me is Instagram and Facebook. And add me as a friend, and I'll add you back, and I'll come and laugh at some of your posts. And feel free to follow me on either one of those platforms, and shoot me a message. I'd love to chat with you. Like I said, this is my favorite thing to do. I love just sitting at my merchandise table and just chatting with the fans just as much as I love, you know, getting in the ring and entertaining them. So. I know we got a limited time. I could talk to you guys all night here, but reach out to me. I'd be happy to chat with you.
We are definitely going to have you back on again. But real quick here, if you go to our Off the Ropes page, you like that, you go to Ken's FM 89.1 page on Facebook, and if you do a $10 donation a month to help Ken's FM, we'll get you automatically qualified for our drawing in December. Where you can win an autograph from a past guest, a current guest, or a future guest. Would you be willing to send us a few autographs for giveaways, CRD?
I'd love to. I'd love to. I've seen your message. I got to get some more printed out, but I'll get you some sent up that way.
All right. Yeah, as long as we can get it by the end of December. And real quick, Randy, go ahead. What do you got?
No, I was just going to say when he was talking about, when he's talking about Wrestle Against Hunger, when we had Elijah Sparks on last week, that's the show that he is going to be at, Saturday afternoon. And unfortunately, Granny cannot be at either one of those shows he's going to be at Saturday night because I have another commitment that night. But I would love to see that match with Leo Fox at Core. That would have been an awesome match to see. So
it'll probably be recorded. I'll see if I can get you a recording of it.
Okay, because
right.
I tell you, like I said, I love CRD. I mean, we go way back, and I mean, I loved watching wrestle, and he's one of my best friends ever in this business. I mean, we consider him part of our family.
That's awesome.
Likewise.
And I'll tell you what, CRD,
on,
we
CRD.
Do appreciate, we appreciate you being with us, and we'll definitely get you back on again. And we do appreciate all you do, and anything you can do to help us out, we sure would appreciate.
Thank you so much. The 30 minutes has flown by. I can't tell you guys how much I appreciate you just having me on here just to chat. This is awesome. And you guys are doing an awesome thing. I'll definitely be in touch, and thank you, everyone, for listening.
Thanks, CRD.
Thanks,
we appreciate
CRD.
It.
All right, y'all
All
take
right.
care.
CRD is our guest there, and our next guest will be coming on in about 60 seconds. We're going to do a quick little deal here, then we'll be back to you in about 60 seconds.
As a non-commercial radio station, KENS FM survives in large part by the generosity of listeners like you, who value public radio and have become a member. Your donation continues to allow us to support local artists and musicians and play the music you want to hear, not what advertisers think we should play. It enables us to broadcast feature story news so you can hear the news, not opinions. Public radio doesn't have an agenda. We're not in the business of pushing our point of view. Our mission is simple. Reflect your interests, not the interests of some corporation. If you believe that having an independent, non-commercial, public radio station in your community is a good idea, become a member now. Find out how by visiting our website at www.kensfm.com. And remember, independence has a cost, and it's as little as $10 a month.
And ladies and gentlemen, stepping out of the green room and walking down the aisle, he is our third combatant of the night, and it is the Iceman Cometh. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you without further ado, he is the Iceman.
Hey, this is the Iceman, and you're listening to the Attitude Era live on 89.1 KENS FM with your hosts, none other than the Icon, the Big Swing, and the one and the only Granny Hulkster.
Well, how are you, Iceman? Thank you for joining us tonight. How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. Pretty good. Just sitting
All
around
right.
watching the Chiefs game.
All right. So is
Me
Granny.
Too.
Unfortunately, that's your team. So.
Me too.
I am proud to say that my team is still the Minnesota Vikings and always will be. But, you know, it is what it is. But anyway, here's what we're going to do here real quick. If you want to give us a quick little background about yourself, then we're going to have some fun with the interview. Go ahead.
Well, I have been in professional wrestling now for 21 years. I live in a small town about an hour and a half northeast of Kansas City, called Chillicothe, Missouri. We are the home of sliced bread, and what that means is sliced bread was invented in my hometown, or I should say the machine that was invented to slice the bread was made right here in our hometown. As a matter of fact, that machine was once in the Smithsonian, but we have it back on display at our local museum here. So that's kind of our claim to fame, is we are the home of sliced bread. So
and,
I am, let's
our,
see.
And, you Nobody. Know, where you're calling here in Fargo, North Dakota, 89.1 KENS FM, our claim to fame is Roger Maris and the log chipper from the movie Fargo.
Nice.
Continue. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Oh, no, no. A little bit about a little bit more about me is I have two kids. I've got a daughter who is 25, and my youngest daughter is 14. I'm married. My wife and I have been together for 8 years, married for 5 years. I also have a 3-year-old grandson.
Wow.
So,
and,
yeah.
You know, and the thing is, you don't look that old, though. And I'm not just saying that, you know, to smooth up to you, but no, you don't look that old, really. When you said that you've been in the business for 21 years, it's like, it's unbelievable because of how young you look, you know?
Well, thank you. a lot of that has to do with the fact of I don't – quite a few years ago, many, many years ago, actually, I kind of cleaned up my act as far as don't party as hard as I used to. So that helps, because if you look at people who party hard all the time, every day, all day, for whatever reason, they tend to start looking older than they are. So I kind of slowed things down probably right around the time that my wife and I started dating. So now, don't get me wrong. I still like to hang out and have a few socially or anything like that. But as far as me being hardcore partier, I no longer do that. So that might be what helps me look the way that I look.
And for those of you who have never seen the Iceman, he's kind of a cross between, now don't get upset with the comparison, but he's kind of an up cross between Michael Chiklis, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Goldberg, and Batista.
Okay. All right.
Of course, to me, everybody looks like somebody else.
Sure.
We have the Iceman as our guest here. We got about 34 minutes here with the Iceman. So now tell me, when you're wrestling, are you more of a baby face, a heel, an in-between, or are you more of a crowd guy?
Let's see. Probably for the last, probably 4 or 5 years, I have probably been a heel. Probably 90% to 95% of the time.
Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about the heel thing in just a second, because our co-host is going to have some fun with you on that. But and then with your wrestling style, are you more of a high flyer like a Rey Mysterio? Are you a technical wrestler like a Bret Hart? Or are you just that destroyer like a Stone Cold Steve Austin?
I like to say that I kind of got a mix of styles. As I've gotten older, I don't do much high flying anymore. Occasionally, I'll still pull out some, a dive or something. But as I've gotten older, I've gotten a little smarter about the stuff that I do. And sometimes it's not that smart to be a high flyer. So I like to mix in a little bit of that, mix in a little bit of brawling, and a little bit of technical, so I'd like to, I've always considered myself pretty adaptable to just about anybody's style. So
you cover all the bases,
watch,
as they say.
Yeah, exactly. I watch pretty much all kinds of wrestling, anywhere from, the brawlers to the technical guys, to your big guys that are, 6'5" or bigger. I just like to watch them all, and I just kind of incorporate a little bit of everybody's style into my own. So,
and covering. So I was going to say, you with your wrestling style, you basically cover all the bases, like the Kansas City Royals.
What's that? Did you say something about the Royals?
Well, no, I was going to say, with your wrestling style, you cover all the bases like the Kansas City Royals do.
Oh, yes, yes.
We have the Iceman as our guest here. We got about 31 minutes. Granny, he mentioned that he does have some heel tendencies, so what do you got for our guest? Iceman, we have 31 minutes. Go ahead, Granny.
Well, this gentleman is no surprise to Granny either. We go way back to just kind of like CRD. And I've had my moments with the Iceman, let me tell you. I've went round and round with him a few times at different wrestling shows. So
he is no surprise to
Granny Hulkster.
Have you noticed a theme today?
Yes.
Everybody on the docket. Have you noticed that theme?
Yes.
Okay, we'll continue. Go ahead with your question. We got the Iceman. We got 30 minutes. Go ahead.
I have not had the opportunity to get to see him wrestle for quite some time, and I miss seeing him wrestle. And
And I know I've seen beautiful pictures of his grandson and his daughter and everything. And I mean, he has a beautiful family, and I miss seeing him. I really miss seeing you, Iceman. And we're glad to have you on our show tonight. So we're really happy to have you on our show. So,
well, thank you.
If you could have any kind of dream match, what kind of match would you want to have, and who would you want your opponent to be?
Oh, man. Well, there's just right off the top of my head, there's a couple of guys who I would like to have a dream match with, and they're actually both still active today. One of them is Rey Mysterio, and the other one is Dustin Rhodes. I'd love to have a match with either one of those guys.
That would be awesome. That would be awesome.
And it really wouldn't matter, you know, what kind of match, you know, obviously with Rey, it would probably be, you know, a good mix of his style, my style. So, you know, just kind of a normal match, with Dustin,
mm-hmm.
you know, with him, you know, he's been in all sorts of kind of matches over the years. I wouldn't mind doing a match that his dad had lots of times, and that's a good old fashioned bunkhouse brawl.
Oh yeah,
yeah, the American Dream, Dusty
definitely.
Rhodes, man. We're gonna have that bunkhouse bunk brawl. We're gonna be taking him in the cage, and we're gonna be kicking some butt here. This is the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. Now, see, I have a little bit of a cold, so I cannot do my best Dusty Rhodes impression, but. Yeah, I was always a fan of his, and I always tried to emulate him when I would like do wrestling promos. I'd always talk like Dusty Rhodes.
Absolutely.
Well, like I said, I always enjoy watching Iceman wrestle too. I mean, especially when he's being the heel, Granny really loves to give him lots of grief. So, just saying.
Well, being a heel is a lot more fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know. Now, Iceman, I remember going to a wrestling show back in 2016 because it was the weekend before my birthday, because that was the year that I had to have my knee replacement done on my left knee, because I actually had surgery on my birthday. Didn't you wrestle at that wrestling show that they had at the T-Bones Baseball Park, that outdoor wrestling show? Weren't you there because Tommy Dreamer was there and Hacksaw Jim Duggan was there? Weren't you in attendance in that show too, if I remember correctly?
Yes.
Or did you wrestle on that
there.
One?
I
thought so.
I was on the show. I just did a manager role at that show.
Mm-hmm,
I didn't wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
I just accompanied a couple other guys that I've known forever and ever. That was just what was presented to me, and so I was a manager that night. So, but you
yep,
know,
I remember. I remember that because that was the night that Lucy Mendez threw a water bottle at me, and this little boy, he comes running over. Granny, did she hurt you? I said, no, baby. I said, I'm fine. I said, she did not hurt me, because she was another one I enjoyed. Her and Ace Steele. I love giving Ace Steele plenty of grief. I tell you, I mean, I love giving Ace plenty of grief.
Absolutely, yes.
Because I remember that was the night that Mr. Saturday Night Michael Berry was being the heel that night, and he comes out and he's standing behind the security guard, like trying to punch his fist at me, and I'm like, I said, man, I said, what are you hiding behind the security guard for? I said, you're being really wimpy tonight, you know. Of course, I have my history with him too, so you know, over the years, but. I tell you,
right.
You know, I know a lot of these guys. I have known a lot of these guys for many, many years, and I tell you, we have a lot of fun when we all get together.
Absolutely.
I need to get you down in Arkansas, Iceman, at Down South Championship Wrestling. I'm going to be working on that.
I think I sent you the information on that. I think we need to get you down here for that. So.
Yeah, actually, I was booked to come down there a few months ago, but mm-hmm. I had to end up canceling due to a death in my family. So, and
yes, I remember that. I remember that.
And we have yet to reconnect, you know, to get something set up. But hey, next year I'm looking to add a lot more, you know, places on my calendar that I've never been before. So that'll be one of the first places that I contact.
Granny will make that happen. I will work
awesome.
On that. Granny will make that happen.
Sounds great.
Iceman is our guest here. We have 24 minutes here with the Iceman. And we're going to take a quick little time out here. But I want everybody to know, if you go to our Off the Ropes page on Facebook, you like that. You go to 89.1 Ken's FM page on Facebook, you like that. Throw a donation to Ken's FM, $10 a month is all it costs to help keep us on the air. Help if you like what we're doing on Monday nights, a donation lasts a long, long time and goes a long way. So we'll be back here in about 60 seconds, and take a listen to how to join.
As a non-commercial radio station, Ken's FM survives in large part by the generosity of listeners like you, who value public radio and have become a member. Your donation continues to allow us to support local artists and musicians and play the music you want to hear, not what advertisers think we should play. It enables us to broadcast feature story news so you can hear the news, not opinions. Public radio doesn't have an agenda. We're not in the business of pushing our point of view. Our mission is simple. Reflect your interests, not the interests of some corporation. If you believe that having an independent, non-commercial, public radio station in your community is a good idea, become a member now. Find out how by visiting our website at www.kensfm.com. And remember, independence has a cost, and it's as little as $10 a month.
I know that Ken will definitely appreciate that. So we're back here with the Iceman here, and we have 22 minutes here with the Iceman. So I'm going to ask you a few tougher questions, and we'll see how you respond to those. First question is, and like I said, we won't spend too much time on it, but you know, we did go through the whole COVID thing, and it kind of scaled itself back and kind of appeared again. I think we're going back the other way again, but could you kind of take us through on how COVID affected your career? Did you lose a lot of shows that'll be rescheduled? Did you have to blank out your schedule to a certain point? Kind of take us through on how it affected you.
Yeah, it slowed things way, way down. Last year started off really awesome. I had a fantastic January, had some real great opportunities. In January of last year, had the opportunity to go and do some work for WWE on three different occasions, had a couple of tryout matches with them. February was good as well. March started off good, and then after the first show I had in March, that's when everything got shut down. So I went from having a good year lined up and started off fantastic to basically slamming on the brakes and then nothing for months. So yeah, it definitely affected, you know, the progress I was having. But you know, what I did was I ended up taking just a couple of months of just, you know, sitting back and, you know, I also have a full-time job, you know, outside of wrestling. So, I was busy with that. So as far as the wrestling goes, I had probably 2 or 3 months of where I did no wrestling whatsoever. I did start eventually going over to a friend of mine's that has a ring, and we would slowly start doing some training and different things like that. And he was doing some some taping for like YouTube and different things like that, just to put some content out there and give guys opportunities to wrestle in kind of a show setting with no fans, obviously. So I don't think things actually picked back up to where I started doing shows again until I think I did one in like October, one or two in October of last year. And then in November of 2020, I actually caught COVID. So I was quarantined for about 14 days. I was super sick for about 3 or 4 days. Then once I got the all clear from there, then I wrestled one show in December, and that was pretty much it. So I went from, you know, starting off like a ball of fire to completely nothing. So, yeah, it definitely affected me. But things, you know, once things slowly started to open back up, then obviously it got much better. So.
And if you have anything upcoming that you know of, your next venue, where is it? When is it? Who might you be facing, if you know it?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, this Saturday, November 6th, I'll be in Springfield, Missouri for Mid-States Wrestling, and I will be defending my United States Highway Championship against a young and up-and-comer by the name of Alan Jefferson. He's actually from Springfield, Missouri. I can't remember quite how many years he's been wrestling, but it hasn't been very many. So he earned himself a title shot at the last Mid-States Wrestling show, and so that gave him the right to challenge any champion, and he challenged me. So I'll be taking him on this Saturday. Then November 13th, I'll be in Warsaw, Missouri for New Breed Wrestling, which is one of my home promotions. Then November 20th, I'll be in Harrison, Arkansas for Mid-States Wrestling. Then, of course, we roll into Thanksgiving, and I'll take a little time off, but actually the Friday right after Thanksgiving, I'll be in Kansas City, Missouri, doing some work for Journey Pro. And then I'll have about a week or two off from there. And then December, I've got only 3 shows lined up in December, which is by design. Come December, I always try to slow things down a little bit, you know, December through January. I try to take some time off and just focus on my full-time job, my family, you know, healing up, getting rested, that kind of stuff. So,
The Iceman's our guest here. We got about 17 minutes here with the Iceman. So we can do this here. If our fans wanted to check you out and follow you, you got a Facebook, you got an Instagram, a YouTube, a Twitter, a Twitch, a TikTok. What do you got?
Oh, I'm on all the social medias. You can find me on Instagram. It's at The Iceman Forever. That's The Iceman, the number 4, and then ever, E-V-E-R. Twitter is at The Iceman Forever. That's The Iceman, number 4, E-V-A. I'm on Facebook. You can just look up The Iceman and you can find me. I'm on TikTok. I'm on Snapchat. Trying to figure out where else I'm at, but yeah, that's pretty much it. Those are the main ones that you can find me on. So,
you know, it's funny. My email address is the icon, the number 4, EVER at outlook.com. So, I'm glad that I was able to let you copy my gimmick.
Yeah. I actually made those that way because, I've always said when I started wrestling as the Iceman until the day I no longer wrestle or until the day I'm no longer on this earth, I will always be the Iceman. I will be the Iceman forever. Matter of fact, I've got a tattoo that says that too. So I believe you borrowed that. So I believe you borrowed that from me, right?
I found Granny and family are planning on being in Harrison for that Mid-State show on November 20th, the tribute show to beautiful Bobby Eaton. We are planning on being there, and I can't wait to see you again.
Yes, that's right. I almost forgot. Yes, that is a tribute show to Bobby Eaton. Yeah, I'm super excited about that. Yes.
The Iceman is our guest here. We have about 15 minutes here with the Iceman, and so kind of, now you mentioned that you have a 3-year-old grandson, and you have two daughters. You don't have any sons yet. But now, has your grandson or your daughters expressed any interest in doing what dad does or granddad does?
Well, my grandson has. I actually have brought him a couple of times to watch me wrestle, and yeah, he keeps saying that he wants to wrestle just like me. I've already taught him the proper way to throw a chop. He knows how to lock up, and he has no fear. He will come at you head on. So, matter of fact, at the last show that he came and watched me at, he was trying to get off my daughter's lap, and get in the ring and help me out. So
I think I saw that video where he was hollering for you.
Yeah.
He was trying to get off her lap.
Yeah. So He definitely shows interest now. You know, of course, him being 3 years old, he thinks everything I do is the coolest thing ever. So, but as far as my girls, both my daughters like coming to the shows. They have fun, but I don't think either one of them shows any interest at all as far as getting into the business.
So, no divas then for you?
No.
The Iceman's our guest here. We got about 13 minutes here with the Iceman. So let me ask you this then. You know, you mentioned you're kind of teaching your grandson, so when he goes to school, he'll have a leg up against anybody that might want to kind of challenge him or bully him. But let me ask you this, and I ask all independent wrestlers the same question. No one has ever answered it the same way, so I'll put it to you, a two-part question. Let's say that you're at a show and someone from like AEW or Ring of Honor, the WWE, they say, hey, you know, we're having tryouts next week in your area and we'd like you to come out and check it out. Two-part question. One, is that something you'd want to do? And two, if you do get that big-time contract, would you not big-time us and still talk to us?
absolutely. I when I first got into wrestling, that was the ultimate goal. If it's, in my opinion, if a person gets into wrestling and that's not their ultimate goal, is to be part of some major company in some way, then you're in it for, I mean, you're just kind of wasting your time. Yeah, I mean, it's one thing to be in it because you love wrestling, you're passionate about it, you love to entertain, which I do. But at the end of the day, the ultimate goal is to be part of a big major company. So, yeah, if that was presented to me, absolutely, I would do it, whether it be, you know, whether it was only for 6 months, a year, you know, 5 years, whatever, I would definitely do it. And I would consider talking to you again, yes.
Oh, you see, now you get, well, you just consider, okay, well, I'll go with that. You know, it's funny. Like I told our last guest, there's only one guest that we've ever had that I never want to talk to again. And Granny knows exactly what I'm talking about. It's one half of Harlem Heat, and it's not Booker T. So you can pretty much figure out who that might be. But anyway, you know, let me ask you this too. You know, you've been in business for a long time. What advice would you give a young wrestler, up-and-coming wrestler that wants to get into the business, what advice would you give him starting out?
Always ask questions. Always take the advice of a veteran. You'll eventually learn if the advice they're given is good advice or bad advice. That's just something you gotta figure out. Always be a student of the game, no matter how long you do it. After 21 years, like I said, I will still sit and watch tape. I will still occasionally go and train. I will watch other wrestlers and just learn and soak it in. Anytime I'm around anybody that's been doing it either A, as long as I have, but doing it better, or if I happen to share a locker room with a legend, I'm asking questions. The one key advice that I can always give younger wrestlers is never stop learning. You know, be open to everything, good, bad, or indifferent, and you'll be able to figure out what's good for you and what isn't good for you.
The Iceman is our guest here. We've got about 10 minutes. We're going to take a quick little time out here. We'll be back here in 60 seconds, so everybody pay attention.
As a non-commercial radio station, KENZ FM survives in large part by the generosity of listeners like you who value public radio and have become a member. Your donation continues to allow us to support local artists and musicians and play the music you want to hear, not what advertisers think we should play. It enables us to broadcast feature story news so you can hear the news, not opinions. Public radio doesn't have an agenda. We're not in the business of pushing our point of view. Our mission is simple. Reflect your interests, not the interests of some corporation. If you believe that having an independent, non-commercial, public radio station in your community is a good idea, become a member now. Find out how by visiting our website at www.kenzfm.com. And remember, independence has a cost, and it's as little as $10 a month.
So we want to make sure that everybody goes there and help Ken out and keep us on the air. And if you like what you hear every Monday night, and if you like the music that you hear and you like the news that you hear, 89.1 KENZ FM is the best stop to go. It's the cool place on your dial to listen, 89.1 KENZ FM. We're back here with the Iceman. We got about 8 minutes here with with the Iceman, sorry, on KENZ FM. I'm sorry. So, Iceman, what was the best advice you got, and who was it from?
Wow, it's really hard to pinpoint, to be honest with you. I've been surrounded by a lot of great guys and girls for that matter. And I've been given lots of great advice. I, to be honest with you, I really can't pinpoint, you know, exactly just one person, who's given me some good advice. But like I said, I've received a lot of good. So.
And, and I'll understand if you don't want to answer this question, but has there been anybody that you were really anxious to meet that you got to meet and that you realized that they're not, they weren't exactly what you thought they would be?
That's
a loaded question, I know.
Yes. Yes, I'll just say this. Yes, there has been a couple of times, and pretty disappointed in how not necessarily how I was treated, just their actions behind the scenes compared to what they do in front of the curtain or in front of the camera. And I'll just leave it at that. I won't reveal names. If you ever catch me in person at some point, ask me that question again, and then I'll tell you in person. I won't say it on the air.
Well, you know, speaking of seeing you in person, you know, if I can ever get down to a show that you're at, I'll understand if you turn me down on this. Like to give me carte blanche, but if I can ever come back down and get down to see you, maybe I could be like your guest manager and walk you to the ring. I guarantee you, if you have me in your corner, you're not going to lose, especially with my finishing maneuver. As long as the referee's back is turned, you're not going to have to worry about losing. What do you think? Maybe we could get hooked up in that sometime if I can ever get down there.
We can definitely see if we can make that work, for sure.
And you have been in the business for a long time. You're technically what they would call a veteran at this point. How many more years would you say that you want to keep going?
Probably, I'd say between 3 to 5 more.
3 to 5, and then you mentioned a little while ago that your grandson's entering wrestling. Do you think that you'd want to train him, or would you try and hook him up with a good wrestling school?
Both. I would definitely want a hand in getting him started, and then pass him on to somebody that is very trustworthy. And I know lots of people who are when it comes to training. So, yeah, I definitely would want a hand in the beginning. But to really, polish up the skills and everything, I would definitely hand him off to somebody that's very, that has a good reputation and is a good teacher.
And would you recommend someone that wants to get into business? Would you recommend them trying the independent circuit or going to a school, a wrestling school first? What would you suggest would be the best best form of action for that would be?
Well, most definitely, before anybody ever attempts to try to have a wrestling match in front of anybody, most definitely go to a wrestling school. And there's some good schools all around the country. Right here in the Midwest where I live, there's a ton of them. You have, the one that I go and train at occasionally, that's ran by a wrestler who's been doing it for as long as I've been doing it. He was trained by Sonny Myers. He's got a school, and that's right outside, like, the Kansas City, St. Joseph, Missouri area. There's one in Davenport, Iowa, that's ran by Seth Rollins. That's a good school. There is the Harley Race Academy down by St. Louis. That's still up and running. That's a good school. There's just tons of good schools around just here in the Midwest. So my advice would be is if you want to get into the wrestling business, wherever you live and located at, find a school. But before you sign up for that school, do some research about who's been through there. Has anybody, got established through there, or is it just some fly-by-night, guy who's never had even a cup of coffee in the big leagues trying to claim, hey, I'm the best trainer in the world, come pay me $1,000 to get started, and we'll go from there. So, because trust me, there are those people. It happened to me early on in my wrestling career. I got duped by a guy, got hurt, didn't think I was ever going to get into wrestling, and once I figured out what that guy's plan was, I got away from him. So
basically what it is he was one of those guys that would just break a couple bones and take your money.
Yeah, pretty much. His claim to fame was he was just like a local guy that did some wrestling like back in the territory days. So anybody that had any sort of name value that would come through the territory, usually he wrestled. He didn't wrestle any of the big, big superstars, but he did wrestle, a few people here and there that did have a good name. And then that was it. He never got any farther than that. So then fast forward so many years, he starts a school, he starts his own company. I happened to go to a show that this guy was running about 20 minutes from where I live. And that was right around the time I wanted to get in, which would have been like late 90s, probably 99 would have been about the year. And so he's like, yeah, come over to my place. I'll show you how to get started, so on and so forth. And all he did was hurt me. First day in the ring, I ended up with a partially separated shoulder because of him. So, and I was out money. So.
We got the Iceman as our guest here. We got about 30 seconds left here. We want to make sure everybody knows to tune in next week, same time. Kens FM 89.1 in Fargo, North Dakota at 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. every Monday night. We got a great guest lineup next week. Be checking out our Facebook page, Off the Ropes, for who's coming on next week. And go ahead and give us a like on our pages, Off the Ropes, on Kens FM 89.1. Send them a donation. $10 a month goes a long way to help keep us on the air. So we want to thank everybody for joining us. We want to thank the Iceman for being on. Thank you, Granny. And we'll keep the big swing on mute for now. So everybody check us out next week, and we will see you all at that time.
I think you know me.